Our Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 26. Listen for the word of God. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Holy One of Israel or for the duties of the priests to the people. When anyone offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come, and while the meat was boiling, with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the one who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will only not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first and then take whatever you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it now. If not, I will take it by force." Now, thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Holy One, for they treated the offerings of the Holy One with contempt. Samuel was ministering before the righteous God, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the good God repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the good God." And then they would return to their home. And the good God took note of Hannah. She conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Now the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the living God. Now Eli was very old. He heard all that his sons were doing to Israel and how they lay with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people. No, my sons, it's not a good report that I hear but from the people of the Holy One of Israel spreading abroad. If one person sins against God, or if one person sins against another, someone can intercede for the sinner with the just God. But if someone sins against the Holy God, who can make intercession?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the dread God to kill them. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Holy One and with the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this, your word. We pray that you will speak to us through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to make a note. Many of you may have noticed the small caps appearing. That is a practice that I picked up from the Reverend Wilda Gaffney, who picked up from a rabbi in, I want to say, New York. Those of you who've been here long enough probably have heard this before, but basically, the divine name usually appears in most Bible translations as L-O-R-D, small case, but that's not necessarily need to be the case. It's actually a carryover from a Jewish practice where they will put the pronunciation markings for the word Adonai, which is my Lord, underneath the words for the divine name, which is not pronounced. So what has been done in what they've been doing is they'll take a name for God and put that in small caps to let you know this is the divine name. So as you can see, Holy One, small caps, that would normally be rendered Lord. But there's no specific reason to do Lord other than that's just how we've always done it. The other day, I saw an article about a Christian musician that I used to listen to a lot. I really liked his music. I kind of still do, and I'm really conflicted. But he had been credibly accused of sexually abusing a 14-year-old kid. And I had kind of been thinking about it in terms of, about this week's lectionary passage, in terms of abuses of power in the church. If you were here with us last week, here or online, you know we talked about Samuel and how his mom left him in the temple at a very young age, probably younger than five. But Samuel the passage says, there's a line that says, Samuel grew up in the presence of the living God. Or another text, Greek and Hebrew have a little differently. A different reading is, the boy grew up with God. And that just kind of caught me. The boy grew up with God. And he grew up in the temple at Shiloh. He was raised by Eli the priest. Eli taught him the ways of God and how to listen, how to lead worship rightly, how to sacrifice, how to listen to God. Many of us also grew up in the church. But at the same time, Samuel is also grows up with Eli and his sons. Eli's sons were bad dudes. You may have picked up on that from the text. They were not good. They were dishonoring the offerings while people were giving them. They were abusing their power. If anybody tried to call them on it, their servants would threaten to take what they wanted by force. Besides treating the offerings with contempt, verse 22 there says, they lay with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. It doesn't say specifically what these women did there, but just that they served there. But the fact that that's listed among the bad things that they did makes me think maybe that's not what they were supposed to be doing. And arguably that Eli's sons were abusing their power as priests to satisfy their greed and, I would argue, to hurt women who probably didn't feel like they had any way out. Samuel grows up in the presence of God and also in the presence of Eli and his sons. Not just Eli's sons, but Eli. Eli doesn't do anything to stop his sons. You may remember, he tells them, basically, knock it off, God will punish you. But he doesn't do anything to stop them. And if you've followed any of the sexual abuse cases, we're not just talking about the Catholic Church here. This is widespread. This is every denomination's got it, even the Presbyterians, even our presbytery. But how many times have you heard them say, like, that the person in charge at the next level told the person who was abusing children, you need to knock it off, and didn't, like, take away their ability to abuse people? It's happened. And then in a little bit later on, it says, another man of God came to Eli to say, this is really bad. And Eli's like, yeah, you're right. It totally is. And he's still, it says that he's really old. But he's the top banana. He's in charge. I forget what he's in charge. And he still doesn't do anything to stop them from doing that evil. So Samuel grows up learning the right way to be a priest, to serve God, and watching the wrong way to do it just get lived out in front of him. And he didn't ask for any of this. And one night, God calls to Samuel, and this is the story that I heard and maybe you heard in Sunday school. Samuel's laying down in bed, and he hears a voice calling his name, and he says, Eli, or Samuel. Excuse me if I mix up Samuel and Eli. I did that in an email earlier this week. It may happen again. I'm sorry. But the voice says, Samuel. And Samuel gets up, runs to Eli, and he says, what do you need? And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. I've been there. I have a 4-year-old. So he hears the voice again, and he runs back, and he says, what's up? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And then he hears the voice again, and he comes back, and he says, what's up? And Eli finally goes, there's something going on here. And he says, oh, that's God calling you. Next time you hear that, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And he goes back to bed, and the voice comes again, Samuel. And he goes, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And that's where the Bible story ended for me. They skip the part. I never heard the message that God gives, which is basically, tell Eli that he is in big trouble. his entire family is just, bad things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. And Eli's response, you know what he says? I'm going to quote this from, where is it? It's God. Let God do what seems right. He still doesn't do anything to stop his sons. Maybe he's old. Maybe he just doesn't think that he can do it, but he's still in charge. He still doesn't do anything to stop his sons from sexually assaulting the women or stealing the offerings that was supposed to be burned up and given to God. Was God really particularly obsessed with receiving the fat from the burnt offerings? Scripture indicates later, not so much. But the people are bringing this, and they're like, this is the way that we're supposed to worship God. And Eli's sons are completely disrespecting that and going, no, we just want that. Give that to us. Eli doesn't do anything to stop that. He just hears the sentence and he says, yeah, that seems fair. Like Samuel, me and many of my peers grew up with God. We grew up in church and Sunday school, taught how to live right, follow God, but we were also shown things. Like I said, children were sexually abused. You could be forgiven for immediately thinking of the Catholic Church, but like I said, happened Southern Baptists with Methodists, Anglicans, Presbyterians. The PCUSA has worked hard to put together polity to stop abusers from abusing and prevent it from happening in the first place, but some pastors and other people in power still do abuse that power. And possibly even worse than that, when people have spoken out and said, this happened to me, this is wrong, or when people have objected, the responses that have come out have been, don't say that. Don't talk about it. It will give God a bad reputation if you say that someone in church abused you, someone in leadership in church. It'll damage the ministry. It will hurt our church's witness. That response turns out to be worse than Eli's. Not only did these people not do anything other than perhaps tell the people who were doing it to knock it off, they told the person who told them the truth that they needed to stop and not tell anyone. In many cases, they actually blamed the victims. To be clear, though, what's harming the church and harming the church's witness, giving God a bad reputation and damaging the ministry? It's the abuse. It's not the talking about the abuse. It's also the hiding of the abuse and the code of silence that gives God bad reputation. It's not the telling the truth. And like Samuel, these people found themselves telling the truth to the people who had taught them the faith, who had spiritual power and authority over them. They didn't ask for that. So what? So first, the church is not harmed by the truth. The church is harmed by deceit and lies. So per the title of my sermon, if you see something, say something. I want to honor today those who lost their church communities when they spoke up and told the truth about the evil that people in power in churches were doing. Those who lost their jobs when they spoke up, perhaps even their homes. God is not honored by complicit silence. God is honored by the truth. So if you see abuse happening and you can do something to stop it safely, do it. If you see harm happening and you have a chance to stop it, do it. This sermon maybe isn't for everybody today, but if it helps one person, if it gives one person the courage to speak up against evil when they should, even if the people doing the evil appear to be more spiritual, if it encourages one person who's been ostracized for speaking out against evil, then it's done its job. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the story of Samuel, for the courage that you gave him to speak up against harm being done to the person, speak up to the person who was a spiritual father to him, about the damage that his own sons were doing and for the example that he offers to the rest of us. God, give us courage and give us strength when we need it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.